The sermon, you see the title there, is The Wall That Never Tumbles Down. If you have your Bibles, turn to Deuteronomy 7. We'll read verses 6 through 9. These are the words of Moses to the children of Israel. This is what God had placed in his heart by the Holy Spirit to give these words to God's people, the children of Israel. Beginning in verse 6. For you are a holy people to the Lord your God. The Lord your God has chosen you to be a people for himself, a special treasure above all the peoples on the face of the earth. The Lord did not set his love on you nor choose you because you were more in number than any other people, for you were the least of all peoples. But because the Lord loves you, because he would keep the oath which he swore to your fathers, the Lord has brought you out with a mighty hand and redeemed you from the house of bondage, from the hand of Pharaoh, king of Egypt. Therefore, know that the Lord your God, he is God, the faithful God. I like that part, the faithful God, who keeps covenant and mercy for 1,000 generations with those who love him and keep his commandments. Oh, praise God for that word and that promise today. Years ago, after World War I, the French built what was said to be the last line of defense. After World War I, in the assault by Germany on France, they said, we're never going to let that happen again. So they built this last line of defense that was known as the Maginot Line. There's an image of it there. They equipped this fortress with the most powerful and up-to-date weapons available. In fact, the saying was that our enemies will never be able to get past this wall. In fact, a man was looking at the wall after it was completed, and he said, there's no way any enemy can get over that wall. But I want to tell you, that Maginot Line, it didn't hold. It didn't hold at all, because the Germans came over it and began to succeed in their efforts during World War II to conquer France and occupy France. The English also once tried to fortify Singapore. They spent hundreds of millions of dollars on walls going around Singapore and fortifications, and they declared Singapore will never be taken. And in building those fortifications, they placed the guns in this massive wall facing toward the sea, assuming that any onslaught against Singapore would come by sea. But the Japanese were ready to take Singapore. They saw that mighty wall and all those cannons, so they slipped quietly behind the wall in the opposite direction of where the cannons were being faced, and they easily took all of the guns on that wall, and they took the city of Singapore. Those lines didn't hold. And I will tell you today, men and women are still building lines that will not hold. Some folks think they're safe behind a wall of money. There's no security in money. Let me just tell you right now, if you think that's going to be your security, you're going to be mistaken. And for reasons to that being true, we can just look back in 1929. In 1929, there were a lot of folks in America that were doing great. They said, I've got money invested in the stock market. It's doing wonderful. I've got money in the bank, and all is well with me. But we know what happened, don't we? The bottom dropped out. Wall Street collapsed. Many, many banks failed. In fact, even many folks committed suicide. I'll tell you, there is no security in anything that this world offers. There is security and safety only in one place, and you know where that is. There is only one line of defense that will never fail. And our scripture says it so clearly. The Lord your God, he is God, the faithful God, who keeps covenant and mercy for 1,000 generations with those that love him and keep his commandments. I want to tell you, God's faithfulness to us, to you and to me, God's faithfulness to us will never fail. God never fails. And when we lean on Him, He'll never let us down. No enemy can conquer us. When we say that God is faithful, we're saying that God is faithful to His Word, to His promises, and that we can trust Him completely. God's faithfulness means that every promise, I like this, think about this. God's faithfulness means that every promise that He has ever made to us in the Holy Bible will stand forever. His promises stand forever. It means that God will carry out His work in heaven and on this earth to its completion by His mighty hand and by His will. It means that God never changes. We like that. God never changes. That saying that He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. God's faithfulness is the wall that never tumbles down. In fact, God is faithful in so many things. He's faithful in creation. In 1 Peter 4 and 19, therefore, let those who suffer according to the will of God commit their souls to Him in doing good as to a faithful creator. A faithful creator. God was faithful in creation. He put the sun and the moon and the stars in heaven, and they're never out of place. They're precisely where God put them. Can you imagine what would happen if the moon bumped into the sun? It would cause great consternation. It'd be disaster. But God is faithful. He holds the universe in His hands, and He runs everything in this universe according to His perfect plan. Seasons follow in perfect order. Summer never comes immediately before winter. The seasons have a specific order. Nature has an order by God's plan. A man sows wheat. He gathers wheat when it's time to gather. He doesn't gather some other crop. He only gathers wheat. When you put two chemicals together of the same proportions, they always result of the same results, whatever that be. That's why we know that H2O is always water. It always has been and it will be. When you go out and dig up gold out of the earth, it doesn't turn to lead. It doesn't turn to brass. It's gold because God is faithful in His creation. But He's not only faithful in the physical realm, He's also faithful to His moral laws for you and for me. If He tells you and I to do certain things in life, then we can know that there will be certain results. God promises that if we follow His commandments, if we follow His laws, if we follow His will, there will be certain positive results. We also know that if we disobey Him and we throw ourselves against His moral laws, you do a lot more than just break His laws. You also break yourself. On a street that I grew up in Southeast Dallas was a little community called Urban Park. Urban Park was also part of a community called Urbandale, and it was all part of another area known as Pleasant Grove. I grew up on a street called Redbud Drive, and all the homes, including my home, were little small frame houses built in the mid-1940s. In fact, our home was about 940 square feet. It had two bedrooms, one bath, a kitchen, and a living room. It was a small house. But it's the house we grew up in. We thought it was just fine. All the homes in that neighborhood were similar to that. They were just small frame homes. But there was one home on the corner of my street in Urban Drive that was just, it just stood out. It was better and more beautiful than any of the homes in the neighborhood. It was made of beautiful white stone. It was much larger than all the other homes. And because it was on the corner, you could access this massive two-car garage from a little side street run beside the house. Well, nobody had two-car garages. Most folks in our neighborhood didn't even have garages, but this home had a two-car garage. Then it had a beautiful apartment right behind the house. It was a white stone apartment that matched the house. And an elderly couple lived there, and they just took beautiful care of that property. But eventually that couple died. And their heirs just left the house standing without any attention to it or repairs or care at all. And as the years passed, that beautiful home became just a mass of ruins with the roof falling in and everything falling apart and weeds growing all around it. In fact, finally, the city came in and just completely bulldozed what had been the nicest house in the whole neighborhood. In fact, today, It's just an empty lot there. A man had created a beautiful, fine home, but no one was faithful to it, and it just rotted away. But God is faithful to you and me. He is faithful to His creation, and it still stands to this day because of His faithfulness. God is also faithful in calling men. 1 Corinthians 1 and 9, God is faithful by whom you were called into the fellowship of His Son. That's speaking to you and me, all of us. We were called into the fellowship of His Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. This is the greatest call. This is the greatest call in heaven and earth, because God calls you and me out of darkness into light. He calls us out of bondage into liberty. He calls us out of despair into hope. He calls us out of potential death to eternal life. What a great call when God calls us. He calls us to salvation. The Bible teaches us that Jesus went around all of Israel calling men. And just so today, the Holy Spirit calls men and women all over the world. He calls through the preaching of the gospel. The Bible tells us that many are saved through the foolishness of preaching the gospel. I'll tell you, it may seem foolish to many people, but God trusts this foolishness to point men to Calvary, to point men to the Savior, Jesus Christ. God also calls through sorrow. A person goes their way without even a thought about God at all, and suddenly sorrow comes into their life. And suddenly their minds are off of this world and the things of the world, and they're thinking about God and faith and an eternal life because of that sorrow that came into their lives. You look at our own state here in Texas, in Kerr County, families with members who died in that tragic flooding. I can just imagine there's a whole lot more folks today thinking more about God, thinking more about our Savior Jesus, thinking more about heaven than they ever did before that flood ever happened to come to take children and loved ones away from them. God calls us also to separation in service. He calls us, a phrase for that in the Bible is called sanctification, by the way. He calls us to a separate life from the world, a life committed to serving Christ with all of our hearts. A young woman had been given a Sunday school class to teach, and she began her work teaching that class, and she really enjoyed it. And she felt the leading of the Holy Spirit really encouraging her and helping her to be a blessing to those she was teaching in her class. But she found herself in this constant emotional and spiritual battle. It seems that the commitment to her class had taken so much of her time that she could no longer join some of the fun activities that she had with her friends. In fact, the conflict became so strong in her mind, in her heart, that one day she just fell on her knees before God and she promised Him her life. And she said, "Lord, I'm willing to give up everything that I had thought was so important, that meant so much to me. I'll give it all up and serve You." And when she did that, she finally had the real peace that all of us desire. Vietnam War, many of us in this church, many men in this war, served our nation and served faithfully and bravely in the Vietnam War. It was a very controversial war, as you may remember. In fact, you remember there were many men not willing to fight if they were drafted. In fact, they avoided the draft. They often went to Canada, or they hid out. They were referred to as draft dodgers. They were referred to as slackers. Draft dodgers and slackers, because they refused to serve our country. I want to tell you, we have some of those same slackers and draft dodgers in our churches today. They have the time and they have the talent to serve God, but they invent every excuse they can to go to Canada or hide out, relatively speaking. You know what I'm saying. God is faithful. God is faithful to us. He's faithful in His calling to us to serve Him with all of our hearts. Third, God is faithful in deliverance from temptation. Deliverance from temptation. I love this scripture, 1 John 1 and 9. God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above what you are able, but with the temptation also make a way of escape. You've read that verse before. You're familiar. Most of y'all are familiar with that. God, please hear me, God has never promised us as Christians, as believers in Christ, He has never promised that we would be free from temptation. But He has promised us that He would provide a way of escape when temptation comes. Many of you are familiar with this story I've told before of a woman that her husband was really struggling to meet the finances of their family. And it seemed like she just had this habit of just when things were going good in their finances and they kind of got caught up, she'd go out and buy this incredibly expensive new dress. And her husband would tell her, oh, honey, you know we can't afford that. It just strains our finances so much. And she said, well, you don't understand. I'm shopping and I see this beautiful dress and I just think I've got a habit. So I'm just so tempted and I buy it. And the husband said, well, look, here's what you got to do. You know what the Bible says? That when you're tempted, you say, get thee behind me, Satan. And you just remember that next time you're out and you're tempted to do that. She said, honey, I'm going to remember that. So several weeks went by and their finances were getting in good order. And suddenly she came home one evening with this incredibly expensive new dress. And the husband was just beside him. He says, honey, did you not remember what I told you to do? That when you were tempted to say, get thee behind me, Satan. And she looked at him and said, oh, honey, I did. I remembered it. And I did exactly what you said. I said, get thee behind me, Satan. And you know what, honey? He got behind me and he said, it looks really good from back here. So I bought it. God makes a way of escape. God always makes a way of escape when we're tempted. You know, great buildings, massive buildings, all have fire escapes. And when the building's on fire, the owner doesn't promise to come take you out bodily, but he promises to make a way for your escape, doesn't he? A highway bridge may have a sign on it that says that the load limit is 14,000 pounds. The law will not allow loads greater than that to pass over that bridge, go over that limit. God knows our limits. He knows our limitations, and He will not allow Satan to put too big of a load on us emotionally or physically or whatever it may be. God is faithful. Oh, He's faithful in delivering all those to turn to Him in time of temptation. He's also faithful in forgiving sins. Aren't you glad He's forgiven you of your sins today? I am so thankful. 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. It says He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins. That's the very character of God. None of us are perfect. I'm so glad that we don't have to be perfect to come to church, because this church would be empty this morning, wouldn't it? None of us could come. None of us would be here. The Bible says that all have sinned. All of us have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. But God provided a remedy. Aren't you glad He did? He provided a remedy that we're to confess our sins. And then when our confession of our sins is made to God, He is always faithful to forgive us, because He's the great God, the forgiver. Aren't you glad He is? The fifth thing we look at, God is faithful in keeping His promises. Keeping His promises. In 1 Kings 8:56, blessed be the Lord God who's given rest to His people Israel, according to all that He promised. There has not failed one word of all His good promise, which He promised through His servant Moses. Many years after Moses had helped deliver the children of Israel out of Egypt, God made many promises to the children of Israel through Moses. Now, many years later, Moses is in heaven. Solomon is king of Israel, and Solomon is recounting the promises to Israel. And Solomon said, God made all these promises, and He has kept every one. God is that way, isn't it? God never forgets a promise, never. When I was a little boy, 6 or 7 years old, I had to have some minor surgery. And my mom and dad knew, as they were telling me about it, I was very frightened, as any little 6 or 7 year old fella would be. And I'm having to go to the hospital to have this surgery done. And I was really frightened. And my father could sense that, and wanting to kind of help me get over it and have something to look forward to, he said, son, if you'll just be a brave little boy and go through this surgery, when it's all over, I'm going to get what you've been asking for years. I'm going to get you a new tent. Well, I wanted a tent because I wanted to be just like David Crockett and all those guys, where I could camp out in the backyard and get my canteens and, you know, be a real pioneer fella. So I said, that sounded great. So I had that surgery in the East Town Osteopathic Hospital on Sine Road over in Pleasant Grove. And later that day, I got to come home. And of course, the very next morning, I said, Daddy, where's my tent? You know? And you know how children are. And Dad said, well, we'll get that tent for you, son. Don't worry, well, I'm going to get it for you. Well, he forgot about it. He just completely forgot the promise, what he said he was going to do. He's busy. He's doing all these things. And a few weeks go by, and I keep thinking, I've got to ask Daddy. And I did. I asked him again. Daddy, remember you made a promise I'm going to get that, give me a tent for my surgery. I did promise that, son. I'm sorry. I forgot about that. I have been so busy. I want to tell you, that conversation happened over and over the course of several months. And every time my dad said, oh, son, I just forgot about that. I've been too busy. Well, one day I just kind of said, Daddy, but you promised me a tent. One day when my father was drunk, he walked in the back door and on his shoulder was a box. I can still remember to this day, he's standing in the kitchen, he's drunk, he's had too much to drink. He takes that box off his shoulder, he throws it down on the kitchen floor, and it was the tent. And he says, there's your blankety blank tent. I don't want to hear about it anymore. It was very ugly. Well, you know, as a little boy, that really hurt my feelings that he was acting that way toward me, but not so much that I wasn't excited about getting that tent. I'll tell you that right now. I had gotten my promise. God never forgets a promise. He never forgets a promise. You know, when the flood was over, when the whole world was flooded, God says, never again will I destroy the earth with a flood. And he made that promise, and we know it's true because he set a rainbow in the sky, and he said, every time you see this rainbow, you remember that I promise never to destroy the earth again with a flood. You think about it, thousands of years have gone by, and every year we see a rainbow in the sky as a reminder of God's faithfulness, of keeping his promises to you and to me. God not only keeps his promises of blessings, I want to also tell you that on the other side of the coin, God also keeps his promises of punishment when we go against him. By example, he had promised Israel all these wonderful things, but he also promised them that he would punish them if they went off into sin to worship idols and to worship false gods, and if they turned their backs on him and on his commandments and on his desire for their lives. And even after many warnings, they continued to do that, Israel did. And a time finally came where they were taken captive by the Babylonians. And the temple, the beautiful temple, was torn down, and half of Jerusalem was destroyed. God kept his promise regarding what would happen if they were disobedient and turned their backs on God. God pays off in great blessings because of our obedience, and God also pays off in sorrow and in tears when we turn away from him. What a thing it is to remember he keeps his promises for blessings and for results when we turn our back on God. Finally, God is faithful as the world comes to an end. You know, this world is going to come to an end. The Bible tells us that very clearly. The scripture in 1 Thessalonians 4:14-17. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so God will bring with him those who sleep in Jesus. That means those who have died. For this we say to you by the word of the Lord, that we who are alive and remain to the coming of the Lord will by no means precede those who are asleep. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and thus we shall always be with the Lord. That verse gives rise to that old song that we've sang. Some of you know it. There's going to be a meeting in the air in the sweet, sweet by and by. This verse reminds us that any day, any moment, Jesus Christ will step out on that cloud with the shout and the voice of a trumpet, and the dead shall be raised, and those of us who are alive and living on this earth shall be caught up to meet them in the air, and there we will go to be with Jesus forever and forever. At that point, we'll have the opportunity to sit down, what the Bible refers to as the marriage supper of the Lamb. And we'll be with Christ during the 7 years of the tribulation. We'll be with Christ up in heaven while all of God's judgment comes on this earth. And at the end of that 7 years, Jesus will physically come back to this earth. He will defeat the Antichrist and the false prophet. He'll lock Satan up for 1,000 years. And when Jesus comes back that second time, he's bringing you and me back with him. And when he comes back, it begins what's known as the 1,000-year reign of Jesus Christ. The Bible says that you and I will rule and reign with him. Then the Bible also tells us that Satan will be loosed one last final time at the end of that 1,000 years and bring temptation upon the nations. But that one final destruction will occur just by the word of God. Satan will be cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, the Bible says, where he will be tormented day and night forever. Then the Bible tells us it's not over. The Bible tells us then that we'll have a new heaven and a new earth, and then we're going to have a holy city named the New Jerusalem coming down from the throne of God, and God will be with you, us. God will be with you and me. There'll be no more pain. There'll be no more tears. We'll be in that city where the Bible says the Lamb is the light. And we'll be there how long? Forever and forever. You know, today, we live in a world full of disaster, full of war, full of sorrow, full of heartbreak, full of tears. We live in a world that is on fire with sickness and with sorrow, it would seem to be to me. But I will remind all of us here this morning, despite the conditions of this world, and it's going to get worse, despite those conditions, we have hope. We have a hope because there is a wall that will never tumble down. That wall is the faithfulness of our God to you and to me. A man came to America from Austria, and he came to expand his business, and he planned to save his money and then send back to Austria for his wife and his little boy and his little girl. But after several months of him being in America, his wife died, and the children were left alone in Austria. Well, friends raised enough money to send the children to America. And when they came to America, some more friends met them and got them on a train to send them to the city where their father lived. Well, the little boy was homesick, and he began to cry. So the little girl put her arms around her little brother, and she said to him, "Don't cry, brother. This is the last night. We'll see Father in the morning." Let me ask you, are you lonely? Are you lonely? Are you battling heartbreak? Are you battling depression? Are you battling anxiety? Or are you battling fear or uncertainty? I want to remind us all today, just look up. God is faithful. And just remember, we're going to see him in the morning, so to speak. We're going to see him in the morning of that new day for all of eternity. And we'll be with him and he will be with us. And this will be forever and forever. Amen. The faithfulness of God will never tumble down. He will never let us down. He will never fail us. May we just continue to persevere and hold on and trust and believe in our Savior with all of our hearts and to serve him with all of our hearts, to be a witness for him, because the time is short. God wants us to be a light in this world of darkness, to be a light that shines and shows the world Jesus is the hope of the world. Amen. He is the hope. Father, we thank you today that the Word of God in the midst of everything is our strength and our hope. The Word of God and God's faithfulness to us will never fail, will never let us down. We stand on it as we sing that song, the solid rock, that is our rock. Father, we praise you. We thank you today that we can stand on your word and your faithfulness to us. No matter what the enemy may whisper in our minds, our hearts, and our lives, may we go back to your word and take that word into our minds and hearts and let the Holy Spirit remind us of that eternal truth that you are indeed with us. Father, I pray that the Holy Spirit will strengthen minds and hearts today, that those that have been weak through fear or worry or concern, God, strengthen them today by the healing, the power, and the touch of your Holy Spirit. In Christ's name, we believe you for this, and we thank you for it in advance. Amen, 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 amen.